living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
What are the four steps for all diabetics? You know, diabetics taking medications can expect minimal results until they eat healthier and follow these four, I guess you'd call them nutritional steps in a sense, maybe physiological steps. We're going to want to improve sugar metabolism. We're going to restore insulin function, reduce oxidative stress, and prevent the dangerous reaction called glycation. Now, this is four steps for all diabetics. That's what I said at the get-go, right? However, I want to make something clear. This is important for all of us, and let me explain why. There was a study called the Whitehall study that came out of the United Kingdom, and they concluded that high blood sugar, whether you're a diabetic or not, right? Because, you know, high blood, the definition of diabetes is a fasting blood sugar at about the 120 mark, okay? However, what about the person who has fasting blood sugar in that 105, 110, 115 area? Well, this study called the Whitehall study said that you're at risk just like the diabetic is for heart disease. They looked at close to 18,000 men, and they underwent what is called an oral glucose tolerance test. And a diabetic at the two-hour mark, when you drink this sugary solution, they wait 2 hours and they check your blood glucose level. The diabetic is always going to be greater than 200. And so we know what that's associated with and all those risks. However, what this study showed was that people who were not diabetics that had a two-hour blood glucose in the 150 to 200 range, which we might call prediabetes, were at the same level of cardiovascular risk as the diabetic. We got to think about this because there's a lot of people out there who get yearly blood testing, right? They look at their fasting blood glucose. It's in that 100, 110, 115 range, and the doctor says, you're fine. You may not be. Your heart could be at risk just like the person who has real diabetes. Where do we want that fasting blood sugar? Where the Life Extension Foundation, where I'm the senior health scientist at, we like to focus around 70 to 85. Now, traditional medicine, they'll just say less than 100. We actually think it's a little more tighter, 70 to 85. So go back to your last lab work and check out where were you with the fasting blood sugar. If you're in that 100 to 110 range, you know what? You got to pay attention to that. We want you in that 70 to 85 range. So let's talk about then these four steps now. So, you know, maybe I'm going to do something here. I'm going to change it up. I'm going to change the title of this segment to the four steps for people with sugar issues, which is pretty much all of us, right? So four steps for people dealing with sugar issues. How's that? So number one was improving sugar metabolism. And the best way we're going to do that is by preventing sugar spikes. Let me explain what I mean by that. What is a sugar spike? You eat a meal that's heavy in carbs, whether it's sugar or not. Those carbs are broken down into the smaller components, which are the sugars, like glucose. That gets right into your bloodstream, and within maybe 30 minutes after eating, boom, your blood level of sugar spikes. Okay? That can be dangerous. The higher and steeper that spike means that you could be going down the line of, say, insulin resistance and diabetes. So we want to minimize the spiking of blood sugar when you eat. Okay. Now, the best defense would be to eat low glycemic load foods. I've defined on previous segments on Healthy Talk what glycemic load is, and I think it's a better indication of how much sugar you're getting in. Most of us are aware of the glycemic index of food, which is simply the sugar content. It can be misleading. If you take the glycemic index of food, which you can just Google and find all over the place now, you multiply it by the number of grams you're eating, divide it by 100, that gives you the glycemic load. The higher the number, the worse the situation. The lower the number, the better. You want a daily glycemic load of about 80, and you really don't want to have any one meal producing a glycemic load on your system more than about 15. So that's one thing to keep in mind. We want to eat lower glycemic load foods. The other thing we want to do is we want to slow down. So when we do eat those carbs, right, we want to slow down how fast they get into our bloodstream to prevent that sugar spike. One of the things I like to do with the meal is apple cider vinegar. about 1 to 2 teaspoons with the meal with some water. Add a little stevia for sweetening, which stevia is a sweetener I do like. That apple cider vinegar has been shown to bring down those sugar spikes. You can add some soluble fibers to your meal. Maybe you do a soluble fibers shake or supplement before you eat. Soluble fibers act like sponges, so that means less sugar gets from your gut into your bloodstream. The result is less of a sugar spike. The new one is an enzyme called transglucosidase. Transglucosidase is an enzyme that will break down the starches and the carbs in your gut, and it turns them into what we call prebiotic fibers. That's simply just a fancy word or phrase for food for bacteria in your gut. So when you eat starchy carbs, transglucosidase, if you take a capsule of it with it, those starches, many of them will be broken down to those prebiotic fibers that then will be metabolized by the healthy gut bacteria and not get into your bloodstream. If those sugars don't get into your bloodstream, what does that mean? Less of a sugar spike. So that's apple cider vinegar, soluble fibers, and transglucosidase. The second thing we need to do is restore insulin function. Insulin is what brings sugar from your blood to your cells, where we want it. We want the sugar inside your cells. So we need to restore how well insulin works. I like an antioxidant called lipoic acid. About 210 milligrams a day works really well. Green tea, drinking green tea with your meal will help that insulin work better. You probably need an extract of green tea, about a gram a day. And then there's a mineral called vanadyl sulfate, about 7.5 milligrams with meals. Vanadyl will act like insulin and help to drive that sugar inside your cells. Again, as I said, where you want it. Broccoli, spinach, greens, those kind of things also have a lot of lipoic acid, some of these important minerals like vanadyl. So eating those kind of foods with every meal will also improve insulin function. Third thing, so that so far, that number one was preventing the sugar spikes, right? The second thing was restoring insulin function. The third thing is reducing oxidative stress. When you have a lot of sugar in your bloodstream, you have a lot of oxidative stress. What that means is sugar raises the oxidation level of your body. That's not a good thing. It's one of the leading theories of aging. So we want to make sure we get a lot of good antioxidants like CoQ10, ubiquinol CoQ10, about 200 milligrams a day. You can do what's called NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which produces glutathione in your body. That's the most potent antioxidant we have. And then one of my favorites, every lecture I do, just about every radio show I do, I talk about this, pomegranate. Eat pomegranate. Sleep with it, bathe with it, do whatever you can. Just do a lot of pomegranate. It's so good for you, about 500 milligrams a day. Try to get about 4 to 6 servings of dark fruits and veggies every day. That's going to give you a nice antioxidant protection. Okay, and then the fourth step we want to do is prevent this crazy reaction called glycation. Sugar is highly reactive. It'll bind to proteins and fat in your body, and it destroys them. The proteins and fats won't work. It's another theory of aging. So things like B6 derivatives, one is called pyridoxal 5-phosphate. It's known in the industry as P5P. About 200 milligrams a day will prevent sugar from binding to those sugars and to the fats and fats and proteins. Another one is a fat-soluble form of B1 called benfotiamine or benfotamine. About 250 milligrams a day there will also prevent glycation. And the last one is a small protein called carnosine that can prevent glycation. Also, be careful how you cook food. You want to cook food low and slow. Avoid browning and burning, because when you burn something, that's a sign of glycation. So there you go. 4 steps for all of us to worry about, because we all have to think about sugar, right? We got to make sure sugar metabolizes better. We got to make sure insulin works better. We got to reduce oxidative stress, and we have to prevent that dangerous glycation reaction. Go check out lifeextension.com. Type in diabetes, and you'll see a great protocol there. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.